Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Forms of life. Now you see that big stone there over which are the words, "My rock." Growing up in Louisiana, we didn't have rocks. Serious. Now, there's gravel. I guess there's gravel pits because there's gravel driveways, gravel roads. But you don't see rocks or stones down in Louisiana. Now remember, it's Delta country. Okay, Louisiana's been built up by what's missing from Minnesota and Wisconsin and Missouri and what have you. So there are no... I was amazed when I got here in northern Michigan how many stones are around and rocks. I was particularly amazed how they pop up out of the ground. You know, they weren't there last year. And then you're out in your yard and you see this little top of a rock and you start trying to dig around and it's a big old rock, big stone there. That just amazes me. Being from Louisiana, we didn't know rocks. We didn't know stones. I'm serious. There aren't any down there. And I remember the first time I saw big rocks, big boulders, were when we went on our family vacation. I think I was 10 years old. This was back in the 60s. My mother's brother and his wife lived up in Seattle, Washington. And the World's Fair was going on. That's when they built the Space Needle there in Seattle. And I think I must have been 12 years old, something like that anyway. But we went up to Seattle. So to get to Seattle, you got to go through the mountains. And seeing all those rocks here, I was just amazed as a kid. And I remember when we got home, my parents were surprised to find out that me and my brothers had stashed a number of them in the back seat of the car on the way home, took them home as souvenirs. By the way, I still have nightmares about that trip up to Seattle. You know, I'm not a big fan of heights. The Space Needle is high. And I still have PTSD from the fact that my dad made me go to the top of the Space Needle in Seattle. Was not happy about that at all. But anyway, we did come home from that trip with a bunch of rocks. I don't know what happened to them. I remember, you know, we had them out around the house after we got back. Dad found them. We put them out there. He let us keep them. But I don't know what happened to them. But today we're going to be talking about a rock, a special rock. We're going to read in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. What we're going to read is Jesus' concluding remarks. He's been preaching to a group of people. Okay, and he's been teaching them life lessons. Remember, he was teaching them how to handle your enemies, you know, turn the other cheek. He was talking about judgment and how to judge right and how not to judge. We are to judge. We're not supposed to be hypocritical in our judgment. So he gives them these life lessons. And knowing people, he ends that sermon with these words. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" The Lord expects us to live what he preaches and teaches. And then he gives this illustration. He says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he is like." This is the people that call him Lord and do what he says. "He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not..." Now I hope when you leave today having heard, you will leave and do. I hope you won't hear and not do. "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." What a simple illustration. a simple story that they could understand then, 2,000 years ago, and you and I can understand today. What he's teaching here are some very simple but important truths. The Lord is acknowledging that there are two types of people in the world. There are wise people. They're referred to as wise. This story is recorded also in Matthew chapter 7. And the person that built his house on the rock is referred to there as a wise person. The person that built his house on the earth or on the sand is referred to as a foolish person. But anyway, the Lord is acknowledging there's two kinds of people in the world. There are wise people who build their houses, which represents their lives, upon the rock, which represents God. So there are wise people who build their lives on God. And there are foolish people who build their houses or their lives on the earth or on sand, which is representative of themselves. They're calling the shots. They don't need any preacher to tell them what to do. They don't need to go to church. They don't need to read their Bible. They don't need any of that. So there are two kinds of people. Wise men build their lives on the rock, Jesus, and there are foolish people who build their lives on the sand, which is just self. But for both these people, in the illustration and in reality, face the storms of life. And when the storms of life come, the wise people, their houses weather the storm. But the foolish people who had no time for God, not interested in Sunday school, not interested in Wednesday night, don't need any of that, their lives, when the storms come, they fall to their destruction. And the meaning is simple. Build your lives on the rock. Build your lives not on your wishes, your desires, your evaluation, your feelings. That would be very foolish. You can do it, but it would be foolish. No, the meaning of the story is build your life on the rock. Because the house that is built on the rock will be the house that can handle the trials and troubles, the storms of this life, which everyone is going to face, whether you're building it on the sand or you're building it on the rock. Everybody's going to face the storms of life. Someone wrote this, and it's a couple paragraphs I want to share with you. For the best man will have his troubles. They will come to him. For the best man will be tried, and perhaps all the more because he is such. Whoever you are and whatever you build, it will be tried. No matter how firm is the rock beneath you, the winds will blow and the rains will pour down upon your building. Whether you are in a palace or in a hovel, which is a shack or a rundown building, trial and testing must and will come to you. It says the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Both builders built their houses in the same general location, evidenced by their apparently being hit by the same storm. In other words, the outward circumstances of their lives were essentially the same. One had no advantage over the other. They lived in the same town and possibly, this is taking some liberty here, but possibly attended the same church, heard the same preaching, went to the same Bible study, and fellowshiped with the same friends. The difference between the two builders and the two houses they built were not noticeable from the outside, but they were immeasurably more important than the similarities. The key is to understand that one does act upon God's word, obedience, and the other does not act upon his word, disobedience. One builds using divine specifications, the rock. The other uses his own, the sand. So, a very simple but a very profound truth laid down for us in God's word today, through which I hope God will speak to your heart. The concept of building your house on the rock or building your house on the sand. Now, to help us better understand this concept, there's no better place to look or person to look to than King David back in the Old Testament. Hundreds of years before this was preached, King David lived and he ruled over Israel. And I think if anybody can illustrate to you this morning the importance of building your house on the rock looking back for a few moments this morning at King David and revisiting his life and hearing some of the things he said should encourage you to be a wise builder and not a foolish builder. David was a man that loved God, but like most men, most women, he had his struggles. He had his own personal internal struggles. He wasn't perfect. He made some serious mistakes in his life. Serious ethical, moral, legal mistakes in his life. And on top of that, there were people that hated him. Hated him so much that they tried to kill him. In other words, here was a man that was constantly facing storms in his life. Maybe you feel that way sometimes. You might be in a storm right now yourself. You can identify with David. Maybe there's somebody that doesn't like you. Maybe there's somebody that has it in for you. Or maybe even more likely than that, it's an internal enemy. It's yourself. It's your weaknesses. It's your falling for temptations. Think about David. He starts off as a young man facing a giant, a literal giant, facing Goliath. That's not something that you wake up every morning thinking about. I'm going to do battle with a giant today. Then he had to do battle with Saul. At that time, Saul was king of the land and had it in for David. I mean, made life miserable for David. And then within his own family, Absalom turned on him and wanted to take down his own dad. And then on top of that, his moral failures with Bathsheba. And then having her husband sent into battle to be killed, basically making David a murderer. I mean, his life was one storm beating up against him after another. Can you relate to that? You might go through seasons of peace where things are going okay, but here comes another storm. Here's a phone call. Here's a situation that you didn't bargain for. Here's somebody else that's done something that puts your life in a difficult situation. You didn't even have to do it, but you're answering for other people's mistakes, other people's trials. It's storm after storm after storm. Such was the case of David. And yet, he survived. He weathered the storm. His life was meaningful. His life had purpose. He did not fall into depression. He did not fall into despair. Listen to what was said of this man whose life was one hurricane warning after another. In 1 Chronicles 29, 26, thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age. Listen to this. In spite of all his troubles, full of days, riches, and honor. And on top of that, Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead after he died. It says something for a man or a woman that undergoes and goes through storms. And at the same time, their lives stand. They are never defeated. They never get depressed. They never check out of society. They never check out of their family. They never check out of church. They never even check out of serving God at church. Such was the case of David. Such is the model that he gives us. So what was it about him? Think about it. There's lessons to be learned here. You can be encouraged. You can leave encouraged this morning. What was it about him that made him able to weather the storms of his life? Was it his personal resolve? It was just, you know, he pulled himself up by his bootstraps. I don't read that or anything like that concerning the life of David. Oh, well, someone that doesn't know much about God might say, well, he got lucky. He just got lucky. No, we know for a fact, we believers, he didn't get lucky. Well, pastor, he became king, you know, and you're the king, you know, you got it made. No, being the king gave him more problems than you could shake a stick at. So it wasn't that. Well, maybe he was just connected to influential people. I don't care how many influential people you're connected with. When your son turns on you, that's a problem, and those influential people are not of no help to you. no help to him in dealing with his past with Bathsheba or with what he did to her husband. So what was it? What was it about David that enabled him, in spite of his own faults and in spite of the attacks of others, the storms that kept coming into his life, that kept knocking him back? What was it that enabled him to not only survive, but to prevail, to be used of God, to never be defeated, to never check out? And that's what a lot of Christians do today. They get overwhelmed. I'm giving up on my family. I'm giving up on my spouse. I'm giving up on church. I'm giving up on God. And either they become a recluse or they just go whole hog into the world. I'm just going to go and party, you know, and just live it up. What was it about David? I was amazed when I started looking into David and what he had to say and how often he had to say something about what sustained him. And it's exactly what is talked about by Jesus. When Jesus said, build your house on the rock, listen to David. This will explain how he was able to do it. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day of the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock. The way David survived is the way you're going to survive. David says it ever so clearly. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. In 2 Samuel 22, a little further down in verse number 32, he says this, for who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Go a little further down in that same chapter. And again, he says, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. When I discovered, and I'm preparing this message, and I wanted illustrations about the rock, and I started studying David, I thought, wow, he's given me way more than I ever expected to get. His emphasis on the rock, his statements about God being his rock. Folks, that must be your rock. Listen, whether you build your life on the sand, which is selfishness and pride, in some cases just ignorance, or you build it on the rock, the storms are going to come. I believe we as Christians miss a lot of storms because we're not making foolish decisions like so many lost people are making. But because we live in a sin-cursed world, we don't avoid all storms. And so when the storms come, how are we going to make it? How are we going to survive? What's going to keep us from throwing in the towel or getting depressed or getting angry or getting bitter at God? It's understanding that he is the rock. And there's nobody better equipped to answer questions about God as our rock than going back in the Old Testament looking at David. And I want to, real quick this morning, we're going to let David answer three questions that can change your life. Number one, we're going to look to David and what he says about the rock. Why should you build your house on the rock? David's going to explain to you. And you would be you'd be at fault if you didn't listen to what he's got to say this morning. Then number two, how you should build your house upon the rock. How's it done? You know, we could be theoretical, build your house on the rock, but I'm more practical than that. I like practicality rather than theory. And then number three, who can build their house on the rock? Let's look at those questions real quick, and we'll be done this morning. Number one, why should you build your house on the rock? In Psalm 18:2, David gives us six valid reasons that I throw out for your understanding this morning, for your investigation. I want you to listen to this. He gives you six reasons why God should be your rock. He says in Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock, number one, my fortress, number two, my deliverer, my strength, number three, in whom I will trust, my buckler, number four, the horn of my salvation, number five, and my high tower, number six. There are six reasons right there where you need to have firmly established in your heart and your mind that God is your rock. You're not going to be defeated. You're not going to be, you're not going to retreat. You're not going to compromise. For as much as God was David's rock, he is equally as much your rock. Look at these six things real quick. He said, first of all, fortress. The word fortress means a place of defense, a place so strengthened that an enemy could not approach it, or where one could be safe. He said, he is my rock, he is my fortress. He can be your fortress. He can be your safe place. When you don't have answers, when you are confused, when you are searching for the right thing to do, you do not have to be in despair because you have a fortress to go to. Building on the rock gives you a fortress that protects you from the floods of fear. When fears come, he can be your fortress. Isaiah 41:13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. As our fortress, he can protect us from the fears of life. Number two, he is described as a deliverer. By that, it means God is able to rescue you out of all afflictions and from all temptations and out of the hands of all enemies, from a body of sin and death at last, and from wrath to come. He can be as your rock. He is not only your fortress, but he is your deliverer. David experienced that. God had him record it so you can experience it too. In other words, building on the rock gives you a deliverer who protects you from the floods of care. Maybe you're being flooded by care or discouragement. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So if you're dealing with discouragement this morning, it does not have to defeat you. By looking to Jesus as your rock, he as your rock is your deliverer. And in the sense that he is your deliverer, that makes him your rock. Number three, the third thing that David said was that he was his strength. By that, David knew the triumph of God's strength over the long trial. Many people fall under the excruciating length of an extended season of trial. And David almost did, but he didn't. One of the times that we need strength most in our lives is when we're dealing with trials that are extended over periods of time. And sometimes God, in his divine providence, allows us to be in a trial that's not over next week. It's not going to be over next month. It might not be over next year. It may be a trial that has to be endured for the remainder of your life. And under those circumstances, you need God's strength. David said, God as his rock was his strength. Sometimes you may go through extended periods of want and need. Building on the rock gives you strength that protects you in times of want and need, particularly when they are extended. Philippians 4:12 illustrates the point. I know both how to be abased, Paul said, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says this, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So if you're in a situation of want or need and it hasn't been answered as quickly as you would have hoped and it's being protracted for some length of time, what are you going to need? You're going to need strength. Where can you find that strength? You can find that strength in the rock. David found it there. He's sharing that with you these thousands of years later. And it can be just as helpful to you today as it was to David when it happened. Three more. Number four, he said it was a buckler. A buckler is a shield warding off the blows of my enemy, shielding me from an arrow or sword. Thereby, building on the rock gives you a buckler or a shield who protects you from the floods of anxiety. Some people deal with anxiety issues. They don't want to have anxiety. It may be inexplicable as to why they have anxiety, but it is there. My dad, I never will forget, sometimes he used to refer to it, and maybe this isn't a good way to put it, but it's what I remember. He said, sometimes I get a bad case of the can't help it. You know, I know I shouldn't be anxious. I know I shouldn't worry, but I can't help it. Well, that's not exactly theologically true, but I know what he meant. So you may be, you know, anxiety. You may feel like it's attacking you. You don't want it. You want it to go away. You need a shield. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. That means, literally it means, do not have anxiety. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Going to the rock. And the peace of God, the rock which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then he described the rock as the horn of my salvation. The word is used here as elsewhere to represent that to which we owe our protection and defense in danger. And the idea here is that God was to the psalmist what the horn is to animals, the means of his defense. So we have a means of defense here through our rock. Building on the rock gives you a horn or a weapon that protects you from, let's say, the floods of temptation. Just like a wild animal might come after you to destroy you, temptations will come after you to destroy you. What's going to protect you from that? The rock. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Who will do that? God. Who is God? He is your rock. Now is not the time to surrender. Now is not the time to get discouraged. Now is not the time to get depressed. You have a rock. David's testimony is real. It is trustworthy and can be a blessing to you. And then lastly, he says, the rock is my tower, my high tower, a citadel, a fortress, which planted on a rocky eminence beyond the reach of my enemies, from the heights of which I look down upon the fury without alarm and survey a wide landscape of mercy reaching unto the goodly land beyond Jordan. Building on the rock is, in essence, giving you a high tower that protects you from the floods of doubt and confusion. As you're going through trials and troubles, one of the things the enemy will use to try to discourage you, defeat you, is the idea of doubts and confusion. We do not have to be submerged by those, but we can be up in that high tower. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Who will direct your paths? The Lord. The rock of your salvation as well. Now, how do you build your house on the rock? Those are the six things. David lays it out, you know, and you read through the Psalms how often he talks about the rock. I mean, it was the difference in his life, and it can be the difference in your life. And he mentions those six things. So just opening it up to us as to how many different ways God can serve as a rock. But then how do you have that rock? How do you have access to that rock? How do you build your house on that rock? Let me give you three things. One, recognize God as a rock. That's very important because all your lost family and friends? They don't. Unbelievers don't recognize him as a rock. You may think, well, that's just a given. Yeah, I recognize God as a rock. Well, understand this. Put it in perspective. A great many people you and I know in this community, and sadly, some of our families, some of our friends, some of our neighbors, they don't recognize him as a rock. So it's critical that first of all, you take the most basic step of recognizing that God is a rock. He can be your rock. Psalm 18:31, for who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? In other words, there is no rock outside of God. Everything is sand outside of God. Everything is earth outside of God. So to make God your rock, number one, recognize him as the rock. And again, that isn't a given necessarily. Recognize him as a rock, because you're going to be, sadly, in small company, because most folks out these doors this morning do not. So number one, recognize God as a rock. Number two, trust God as your rock. Trust him as your rock. Don't fret. Don't get discouraged. Don't be defeated. Don't throw in the towel. Psalm 18:2, again, here's David. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, in whom I'll put my trust. We just went over this verse. My buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Trust God as your rock. And you know you're trusting him when you detect fears coming and you, nope, not going to go there. Discouragement coming and, no, I'm not going to go there. Feel like throwing in the towel and saying, what's the use? I mean, it's just one problem after another. Or if it's not a multitude of problems, in some cases it can be just one deep problem that just is an earthquake in your life. We're rocking along pretty good, then all of a sudden, hey, you know, the phone call, the note, the message, the whatever. Trust God as your rock. And then number three, pray and ask him to be your rock. Psalm 31:3, for thou art my rock, David says again, and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. He's praying there. He's praying. He said, Lord, lead me, guide me. You're my rock. Lead me and guide me. So it's pretty simple. Recognize God as rock. Trust God as your rock, and pray and ask him to be your rock. And then the third question David answers is, to whom can God be a rock? Is it limited to preachers, to the super spiritual Sunday school teachers? Listen, Psalm 95:1, oh, come let us, after saying all this about God being his rock, he says, O come, let us, plural, as many as will, I would say, sing unto the Lord. Let us, plural, make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. He is quite capable and quite willing, no matter what storms are knocking at your doorstep today, quite capable of being your rock. And when you go through storms, there will be some concerns. I'm not saying that we need to be flippant. I'm not saying that we need to stick our head in the sand. When you go through storms of life, it's going to be a sobering time. It's going to be a serious time. But it doesn't have to be a time where you are scared, or where you are fearful, or where you are dejected and discouraged, or in such despair that you just kind of check out. I can't go to church. I can't serve anymore. I can't do any of that. No, you can weather the storm. You can be as sober as you need to be. There may even be a tear occasionally. You know, God's not unrealistic. But you're not defeated. You are not in despair. You may have a broken heart. It may weigh heavily on you. But you can still manage a smile. You can still love God. You can still testify of God's goodness. You can still identify and assemble with God's people. And you can make it through because you're the wise man or woman that built your house on a rock. This last quote, we're done. Talking about David. All David had, this is when he, of course, faced Goliath. All David had was faith and a rock. And he defeated a giant. All you need is faith in the rock to defeat yours. All you need is faith in the rock to defeat yours. And I hope this morning, as the invitation is about to begin, that if you're going through maybe the biggest trial of your life, you will turn to the Lord in just a moment and say, Lord, renew my faith in you. Renew my confidence in you. You are my rock. I will not be defeated. I will not be discouraged. I will not live in despair. Lord, I may shed a tear or two, and I may be a little more serious than what I would like to be, but I'm going to remain faithful because you're my rock. As we stand, please, with our heads.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.